Isn't it good to be here this morning? Yes, amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. If it's your first time or your 10th or 100th time, we are so grateful you are here with us. And I just have a real expectation. We even prayed about it this morning, just how God is bringing us into a new season. And there's a little bit of resistance. Have you ever experienced something like that, where there's a resistance before you break through into something new? Is anyone else here? We just need a bit of acknowledgement. Like, yes, just you can just bob your heads every now and then. Like, yes, Pastor, that is right. No, it's wonderful to share with you this morning. And this morning I shared a message about 3 weeks back, I think now, on making our lives count. All right, our lives count for something. And obviously I shared a bit with regards to my sister-in-law who is sort of trapped in her body. She's in a vegetative state at the moment and difficult situation. But it challenged me on, is my life counting for the sake of the gospel? Not so much just for what I get out of it and the things that are nice, but making it count. And I want to encourage you this morning to maybe just start with that question. Is my life counting? Is my life counting? Then secondly, when I thought about that, I was like, what is your life filled with? It's obviously filled with actions, but it's also filled with words, is it not? We speak a lot in our lives, and we often say things that affect ourselves as well as the people around us. And this morning, my title of a message is, Let Your Words Count. Amen? Let your words count, because they matter. And we're going to see in Scripture this morning, as we just engage with Scripture, see how our words matter and they count. And they should count. I've got this passage in James 3, but there's a lot in here. I'm just going to read it briefly for us to give us a bit of context and then expand on a few other passages. But it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should be teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." Whenever I read it. Okay, verse 2. "Indeed, we all make many mistakes." Whew. Okay, there we go. "For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go." I don't know why they say pilot here. It should be captain of the ship, isn't it? "Pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest afire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." That's a scary scripture. "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is relentless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you cannot draw fresh water from a salty spring." So there's a lot in there. But to summarize, our tongues have the power to build and to destroy, and how we use our tongue and how we speak. And I'm going to come back to something I said earlier, even in this morning of our offering message. What's in our hearts? What is in your heart will flow out of your mouth. Let me leave that. I'm going to come back to that this morning. In Proverbs 15, it mentions here, "A man has joy in giving an appropriate answer, and how good and delightful is a word spoken at the right moment. How good it is." Isn't it nice when someone asks you a question and you have the answer? It's nice. There's some teachers here, I know, and you're like, and doctors as well, they ask you a question, you're like, I know the answer to this. It feels nice. It's like, yes, I can help you with a little bit of wisdom or information. How appropriate and how delightful it is. Even more so, isn't it wonderful when someone has a question about maybe their faith or their journey, and you might know something or have encountered or had revelation of something that you can share with someone? Has anyone ever experienced that, where you can share truth with someone? How good is that, to share something that can change a situation, that can encourage? Just going back to this passage in James 3, I was chatting to my sister-in-law, my other sister-in-law now, and it's often a challenge for us as Christians, and I find it, especially with believers, that I won't call you immature, you're just not mature yet. To put a pin in that. Yeah, semi-mature. By the way we speak, by the things we say. And the things we say to each other and to non-believers even, or people that are just not there yet in the sense of their faith. We say things and we use God's word even and the truth of his word, but in the manner we use it, it doesn't bring the result it needs. Hello? Is there anyone that's experienced that? Where you've shared truth in a situation, but it was not the right time, or it wasn't done with the right heart. And the result and the fruit of that did not bring life. We need to be careful, church, because we have been given the responsibility to steward the word, to carry it and to share it. But at times, we can even be in our little self-righteous bubble and share something. Oh, I know the scripture for that. Ba, 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 ba. But has it brought life? And I'm not saying we shouldn't share scripture with people, but are we sharing it in such a manner that we really care? We really want them to know what this means. We really want them to capture the heart of what God is saying through this passage. Because sometimes we use even our intellect to bring a word that can cut when God is actually wanting to heal. It's very quiet. But I've done this, and I feel we've all done this at a time, where we've shared truth, but without love. We've missed the love part. And I want to challenge us this morning that even with our tongues and how we share and how we encourage, we want to see the truth, the real fruit, come about in our conversation. Even with our family, our friends, I've done this. I'm guilty of this. And I feel at times we should be careful about how we share. Not that we shouldn't share. We should just check the motivation of our heart. Let me pray for us. I feel like we need to pray there. Father, we just come and we recognize that our tongues have such significance in our lives. And we want our words to matter. We want them to count for you, Lord. In our families, in our friends' relationships, in our work environment, even with this total stranger, we ask even right now, God, that you'll show us through your word, God, how we can use our lives and our bodies and our tongues to glorify you. We recognize that if we see in scripture how important and significant this is. So just lead us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 18, this is a well-known one, 18 verses 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there's a power that is released. And you know that as believers, we also carry authority to speak into situations, to declare hope, to declare truth. But we also carry the same authority to break down, to discourage. And those who love it will eat its fruits, the power of the tongue. We need to be those that declare life. The power of our words. Just a few examples. You can declare death over a situation, And people have done this in the past. There's been wars that have been launched by words that have been spoken. Wars that have killed thousands of people. A judge. Someone will judge a situation and they will execute through their words. There'll be a result from that. Some relationships are destroyed and broken because of the words that have been shared. Things that have been said. And it's almost like toothpaste. Once it's out, can't put it back in. God can heal anything and He can restore, but often our words can damage the relationships that we have. Friendships. Friendships can be ruined by the things we say. And you know what? It's often those small, little, subtle things that lead to a break. Reputations, people's reputations, by something they say. And this is why I'm so cautious of people. People say, no, I can drink alcohol. I'm like, okay. But you know what? When you drink alcohol, your tongue becomes loose. Very loose. And you will say something that you will regret. But the power of life and death is in the tongue. I'm not saying you shouldn't drink, but boy, oh boy, you better lock it up then. Why are you laughing, Milton? But, you know, I think we have to be so careful about the things that come from our mouths. And we're going to see now as we continue. We have to be a good steward. Reputations can be ruined by things that have been said at a situation, at a function that you just regret. I'm sure you've all been at this scenario. You said, I wish I never said that. I wish I never did. Well, it said that thing. It would have made life so much easier. It also gives us the opportunity to declare life. So there's death, but then life. We can bless a situation. We can speak a blessing. Do you know that we have the authority to command a blessing, to speak a blessing over your family, over a business, over a community? We pray and we speak it out. We declare it. We can bless with our tongues. We can teach those that are teachers. Our parents, you are teaching your children. The ways you are leading them, the things that you are saying, you're teaching, you're building them up in the ways of the Lord. You can encourage. You can encourage someone around you. You know, can I just point it out there? It's the worst thing. And if you've said this to me, I forgive you. But someone comes to say, you look tired. Yeah, I feel tired now. Has anyone ever said that to you? You look tired, man. What's wrong with you? Immediately you feel a lot more tired than you felt. Just say, can I buy you a coffee? Or can I make you a cup of coffee? We already know how we feel. We just don't need someone else to tell us that that's how we look. And don't lie either. Let's say, you look great. I don't feel great. Check your heart. But we can encourage those around us. We should speak life and say, man, come on. We can do this thing. With God, we can do anything. Amen? We should encourage each other and say, this is possible. It is possible with God. Even when it's really difficult, it is possible. Make peace. Make peace. Our words can bring peace. We are called to be the peace makers. How do you make peace? With your words. You need to bring a word that diffuses a situation. Of love, of tenderness, of forgiveness, of kindness, all easy things, hey? No, but God invites us to do these things. By the power of His Spirit and His Word, we can bring peace into a situation. We can ask the right question. And I want to challenge you this morning. Often we are very opinionated. We have a lot of opinion about a lot of things, but we need to be better at asking questions. Ask the right question. Ask the right question. Make peace by saying you're sorry. Be the first one to say, I'm sorry. Even if you feel justified that you need someone else to say sorry first. Make peace. It can build into a marriage. Your words. Build into your spouse. Pray over your spouse. Speak positivity. over them. Say, I see this in you. Affirm them. I see God working in your life. I see how God has led you to this place. I see what he's doing. Affirm someone. Speak life. Bring hope into a situation. Do you know that we are carriers of hope? When you walk into a situation, whether it's a room or an office or a classroom or a family gathering, people know that you're a believer. We carriers of hope. But you know how it might be on you? Sometimes you're lucky enough to just, people can sense that there's hope in this person because they know Christ. But often it's our words that encourage. The way we respond to a situation. The way we say something. People are like, I don't know how you see that. I don't know how you see load shedding as load sharing. We share the load. The problem is real, but we share the load. It's a hopeful approach. Sometimes we just need to bring a little bit of light where there's a bit of heaviness. Probably the most important thing we can do with bringing life is sharing the gospel. The power of Jesus, the power unto salvation through our words. Someone had to share that message with you, and it came through their words. God used a man or a woman to share Jesus with you. That's probably one of the most powerful things our tongues could do, is share Jesus. Jesus. There's many other things that our tongues do, and we're going to look at this now, but the tree of life versus a crushed spirit. In Proverbs 15 verse 4 it says, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And it's again this heart attitude. Whenever I'm reading these passages, say, Lord, what is happening in my heart with regards to these? Gentle words. Parents, when you speak to your kids, it's not always easy to use gentle words. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Don't be deceitful. Don't tell a lie. Don't try and make yourself look better than you are. If you've messed it up, you've messed it up. Own it. Don't be deceitful. In Proverbs 12, it says, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Isn't that amazing? The tongue of the wise brings healing. I think we need to spend more time with wise people. People that can bring a word that heals. Not so much a one that can just bring destruction. I have a question then this morning for you. What will come out of your mouth today? Death or life? Choose. It's up to you. What will come out of your mouth? Death or life? You need to choose. So let's say it, because then we can at least, we've said one thing that is good. What will come out of your mouth? Life. 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 Lord, I want life to come out of my mouth, out of my tongue. That's a commitment. Let's ask God, I want that. I want that to be my attitude. What fills your heart? Because what fills your heart flows out. Luke 6, verses 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. So what is your heart full of? Because abundance talks about the fullness of your heart. If it is full of wickedness and evilness, that's what will flow out. If it's full of cynicism, critical things, that's what will flow out. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? A critical heart produces a critical tongue. Are you critical? Don't have to answer. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. A bitter heart produces a sharp tongue. A sharp tongue that cuts. An ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were in the desert for 40 years grumbling because they had an ungrateful heart. Don't be caught with an ungrateful heart. It leads to grumbling. Gratefulness. I'm so grateful for the things that God has done and that He's busy with. Choose life. It's a choice. But a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. Someone that is filled with God's love, his heart is filled with God's love, he executes grace because he understands. He understands the love. He executes with a gracious tongue. A faithful heart produces a truthful tongue. Knowing God's faithfulness, truth will flow from that. A peaceful heart produces a reconciling tongue. If you're peaceful, you want to reconcile. You don't want to break down, you want to build up, you want to restore. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue because we know what God has said and we trust it. When you trust God, you can encourage those around you, saying, no, but God has done this and He will do this because He is faithful. A faithful heart is an encouraging tongue, leads to an encouraging tongue. So fill your heart with grace by soaking in God's word and His presence. That is our desire, church, for you, for me, is that we would execute the tongue that would bring life, hope, joy, peace, restoration, love. But it comes when we soak ourselves in the word. Do you know that when you spend time in God's word, it presses. It just filters everything else out. We get shaped by His word and His presence. We can't just say and leave here today, I'm glad we said we want to declare life. But if we don't spend time with God in His word and in His presence, it becomes very difficult. You might do it today. You might even do it tomorrow morning. But lunchtime, when I haven't eaten, is anyone else? I'm hangry. I fall into the trap of hangriness. That's where you're hungry and angry, just to fill everyone in. But it's difficult. It's really difficult to exercise an encouraging tongue when you're in that place. But the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. And we need to ask God, God, help me to do this thing. I need to spend time in your word and your presence. Be careful to be influenced by the world and those around you. This day of social media and the influence of society, we often will say the things that are said by society and by other people, but not what God has said in His word. We'll often say the things of the world and those around us, but not the things that are said in God's word. God's word brings life, and we need to be carriers of that and share that. Or not at all. Just be quiet. Don't always have to have opinion. Ask the right questions that lead people to think about what they say. Ask people why. Ask the right questions. Ephesians 4. I just want to point out something here. These scriptures might be, you might feel like I'm pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing that same finger back at me this morning. This isn't to say that, hey, why aren't you doing these things? It's to say, hey, why aren't we doing these things? Amen? Okay. Let's continue. In Ephesians 4, verses 29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Whew. That is hard. It's there. No corrupting talk. 1 John 5 verses 19 says, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We are from God. you are from God. And I think we need to remind ourselves when we speak and when we're engaging with society that we are from God. And we should speak in a manner and way that leads and points people to God, because we are in an evil world. This world is evil. But God has sent us into it. Give account. In Matthew 12, verses 36, it says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. It's there. We will give an account. Every word we'll have to give an account for. You see the weightiness of why this is so important, that we check our hearts and examine our hearts and say, Lord, I want to get this thing right because my words matter. They matter. In this day that we find ourselves, do you know what? Our words matter. And we are using our words when we speak, but also when we tweet and we send a message and we communicate. Because you think, oh, I don't say bad stuff. Well, do you write bad stuff? Those are words and they will count. They will count. Sometimes it's easy to say something on a platform and just leave it because you're disconnected from it. I don't care what they think or say. What's your heart? What's the motivation of your heart when you sent that thing? What are you trying to achieve? Is it life or is it death? Every word. In Psalm 141, verses 3, it says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors or the door of my lips. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what we want, church? Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. So the things that shouldn't come out would stay there. They would stay there. I'd deal with them in my heart before I would speak them out. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Proverbs 10, verse 11, the fountain of life. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Isn't that beautiful? The words that the godly, are we, church, godly, are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. James 1, verses 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to speak. Listen. Slow to speak and slow to get angry. Often we do it the other way around, eh? We're quick to get angry, slow to listen, and fast to speak. It's true. Lord, help us. Help us. Ephesians 4, verses 32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We need to forgive. We need to exercise that. We need to be tender-hearted. These are all difficult things. Actually, these are impossible things without God, without His Spirit. But we are carriers of His Spirit. We have His Word, and therefore we can. In Acts 20, last scripture for today, in verse 20 it says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He gives us this word of grace. It is only by His grace that we can actually control this thing. It's not in our own ability. It's not in our own strength. It's not wanting to be a good person. It's only by His grace and by the power of His Spirit that we can control our tongue, that we can use it to glorify Him, that sweet things will come out, tender things will come out, not things that cut and break and destroy. I want us to pray this morning. We're going to take communion together. As a remembrance, as a reminder of what Christ has done, that He has said, He has uttered, it's finished. If we look at the words of Jesus and how He used His tongue, how He brought life, how He asked the right questions, Go read the Gospels and see how Jesus engaged with the sinful. It's not that he didn't want anything to do with them. He sat and with the drunkards and everyone. But it's the questions he asked that led to the deeper meaning and the deeper questions of life. What do you trust in? Where's your hope? We need to be better at that. You want to share the gospel? Start asking the right questions. People will be broken by the realization of the truth of their own lives when you ask the right question. We don't have to preach at them. We just have to ask them until they realize, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. Ask the right questions. Use your tongue wisely and do it from the right motivation. It's not to be, oh, I have the answers, you don't know. It's like, I care about you, therefore I'm going to ask. I want you to know this Jesus. I want you to know the love of the Father. Can I pray for us? Before I do this, before you bow your heads, and who's been challenged by this message this morning? Just acknowledge. Okay, there's a few of you. Great. I'm challenged by. Yes, Adney, please come up.
Thank you, John. I just want to agree this morning how important our words are. A week ago, or a friend of ours, his dad had a, they're not sure if it's a stroke, or but he's in hospital, he's very weak now. So, but there's a lot of bitterness in his heart. So Lydia, the Lord spoke to Lydia, and we had the opportunity to go and share to him about bitterness. But it's so, when John spoke about this morning, he lost his voice, that man. And what... There's so much bitterness and people he need to forgive, but he cannot go back and tell them what he want to tell them. And we should never take it for granted. If there's something to be said, and if your words have to bring restoration and have to forgive somebody, we should not delay that. And that bitterness that he had to carry, but we just realized that God's grace for him is so great, and we prayed with him, and that burden was lifted, and he could, even though he mumbled a little bit when we left to his son for the first time ever, he could tell him he loved him, and we just realize, oh, even if you have to use your voice today to really tell somebody that you love him, don't let us delay on that. And
amen. It's true. We have the opportunity to bring life, to bring love, bring hope. I'll never forget the moment I heard another sermon where someone challenged me to, when last did you look your father in the eyes and tell them that you love them? And I realized that my father had never said, looked me in my eyes and told me, I love you. And I remember going home that one day after a sermon as well. I went straight up to him. I said, Dad, I love you. And because I wanted him to know. And he looked at me, and it caught him off guard big time, because he's not a talker. He looked at me, he's like, I love you too. And I said, thank you. I needed to know that. I needed, and he needed to know that. For the rest of my life, I know my dad loves me. And I know he knows I love him. Done. Do those things. Be obedient where the Holy Spirit leads you. Don't miss the opportunities to bring such a powerful thing by the release of your tongue. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God, that just as we come and we realize that without you, God, it's impossible to please you and to glorify you. And we know and see now just how difficult it is to do with our tongues. We know it. But with you, God, with your Spirit, with your word, with your presence, with obedience, we can do that. And daily we need to come and become dependent on you to lead our tongues, God, to speak life, to speak life. I just want to invite the worship team up now, and they're just going to minister and just play a little bit. Because I feel there's opportunities here this morning, just as we seated and just as they've come to prepare. I wonder if our catering team can just assist with the communion. I want to hand that out so long. Where's our catering team at the back? Maybe Adney and Lydia, you could also just assist there. I just want to hand out the communion elements. Yeah. And then we're going to pray. I just want you to reflect. Keep your eyes closed for the moment. I just want you to reflect on what was shared this morning. And I want you to think about your tongue. I want to think about this week even on what you've said. But maybe not so much what you've said, but how you've said it. How you've said those things. And how has that impacted the people around you? How have you built up? How have you broken down? And as the ushers are just coming around, you can just take of the communion elements. But just think about that as let's just remain in an attitude of worship. Just focus again just on what the Lord is saying to your heart. We'll eat and drink in a moment, but I just want us to take this time just to think about the words that we've said, we've spoken. Maybe there's a specific instance, a moment that comes to remembrance. It might have been this week. It might have been in a month ago or even years ago that you regret saying, you regret speaking. And if you're honest, that might have even been something to God, that you've said something to God that you regret. God says that blessing should come from our mouth, not cursing. Just take a moment then to ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I want to ask you just for forgiveness of that thing I've said. That thing I said over someone or spoke over someone. Even if it was a good thing, but my intentions of my heart were wrong. I'm sorry for that. It says in Scripture that when we take communion, we should examine our hearts. So that we do not hold a grudge or hold something against our brother. We should, maybe there's an unforgiveness or bitterness of something in your heart. And I want to encourage you just to let that thing go as well. Ask for forgiveness. Deal with the bitterness even in your heart. Only the Lord knows and you know. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry for carrying this unforgiveness or this bitterness. Yeah, I just sense the Holy Spirit will highlight even right now just something that you need to, where you've exercised your tongue, you've said or done something by your words that has brought about an action that has not brought life. To just ask for forgiveness for that thing. Maybe you've spoken over someone to break them down, to build yourself up. And God's just like, no, I'm the only one that builds people up. And we have no right to break people down. Just forgive. Just ask for forgiveness. Say, sorry, God. I'm sorry for using my tongue to break down. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Yes, for every heart, God. I thank you, Lord, that we can just come and present ourselves to you. And we just want to examine ourselves. We thank you for your finished work at the cross, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can eat and drink now in an eager expectation and a remembrance of what you have accomplished, Jesus. That you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for us. That your body was broken for us. But it was also shed and broken for the world. And we pray even now, may our words bring glory to you. May they lead people to know Christ. May we be missional in our voice, in our words, into the city. May we be carriers of hope. May you give us the discernment of your Spirit to ask the right questions, to lead people to truth and hunger truth. So we come now and we thank you that we can eat and drink and just draw near to you. Thank you that it says in your word that we can draw near to you and you draw near to us. You're welcome to eat and drink when you're ready.